Good morning, Backroads Church. Oh, here we are. It's our first week of Lent. We've been through Ash Wednesday, and now we're starting our Lent, a season of just such an important season in our Christian year, time of repentance, of reflection, as we take this walk with Jesus to Jerusalem, back into Jerusalem, and we experience Passion Week. And the Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and then celebrate on Easter Sunday. So thank you for joining us online this morning or in church, wherever we're getting together. We're two or three are gathered. Jesus promises to be with us, and thanks to technology, we can do that in different ways now. So a couple of announcements as we get ready for worship this morning. Just to share a little information about our Inner Hope ministry. We did a little over $58,000, which will be matched. So we're looking at $116,000, a little over $116,000, almost $117,000 that are going to go to Inner Hope. So thank you to everybody who participated in that. And thank God for this ministry and all the kids that are going to be helped through Inner Hope. I also want to remind you that the Women's Day is coming up on February 28th. If you haven't had a chance to register yet, the 23rd is the last day to register. So go online. If you run into any snags, just call the office, and somebody there will help you get registered for the Women's Day. That's on February 28th from 8. I think it starts about 8 and it'll end up sometime around 3. So at this point, it is the season of Lent, so it is a time of reflection. If you're in a service watching this and you've done your joys and concerns, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Oh, God of mercy and hope, we ask that we feel your presence with us this morning. We gather seeking your will, Lord, carrying in our hearts concerns for our family and for our friends, for our neighbors. Lord, we come to you this morning with prayers for this world as well. It's broken. We're broken. So we ask for your healing mercy to move in each situation that we bring this morning. And we pray that we would remember that this same healing grace that we seek for others is offered to each one of us as well. Lord, we're humbled. And we're grateful that you're always present and always prepared and ready to hear our prayers, sometimes more than we are even ready to pray. So we are thankful this morning. Lord, it's easy for us as we get ready to hear our message this morning and spend this time together. We know that it's easy for us to say that we will follow you. With our words, we promise faithfulness, yet too often we forget those promises and we live as though our commitment means very little. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and to follow him. And we speak boldly of our intentions, but too often we stumble in our actions. How is it that something as small as our tongue can carry such power for blessing and yet cause so much harm? So Lord, forgive us when our words wound instead of heal. Forgive us for our shallow commitment and our divided hearts. Heal us of our fears and our pride and our careless speech. Give us courage not only to call ourselves disciples, but to truly live as disciples. Lord, guide us and empower us to proclaim your mercy and your transforming love with a sincerity and a joy. Today, gracious Lord, we also lift up those who are joining the Backroads Church as new members. We thank you for stirring their hearts to enter into this covenant relationship. We would ask that you remind them and remind all of us. The church membership is more than just a name on a roll. It's a sacred promise to pray and to serve, to give, to witness, and to grow together in faith. It carries both meaningful blessing and faithful responsibilities. Lord, we would ask that with these new members and our members that have been here for years, we would ask that you would knit us together as one body in Christ. Pour out your guidance and grace upon these new members that they may grow deep in their faith and strong in their mission. Help us as a congregation to surround them with encouragement, accountability, and love, so that together we may faithfully live out your call in this community and beyond. Give us strength and courage to follow Jesus with our whole hearts. For it's in his holy name that we pray. Hear us now, Lord, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at a verse, I thought, with new members coming. This might be a good thing to learn today, to teach today. So I'm going to be reading from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. So hear these words this morning. It's that not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. And anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they're so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restful evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the kindness or in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and curse. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more than salt water yield fresh. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I thought we had some new members join in several of the churches this morning. So I thought we might want to talk about the meanest member in our church. There are all kinds of members in any church. There are some members we talk about and we say, oh, aren't they just, they're just so nice. And then there are others that we talk about and we say, oh, aren't they really cute? And then there are those members in the church that when we speak of them, we say, oh, they're just so sweet, aren't they? We all know these members. I like to say that some of the members are so sweet that if you stand too close to them, you're going to get a cavity. But this morning, those members aren't the ones that I want to shed a little bit of light upon. I want to talk about that other member, or other members, maybe I should say. We all know that there are probably a few that fall into this kind of category. You know who they are, so don't try and put your head down. I see that some of you are already looking around the sanctuary, trying to identify just who is the meanest member in our church. So I would think that maybe at this time, why don't we just go ahead and get the voting process started. If you would just take your program, and maybe on your connection card, just write down the name of the person you think is the most meanest member in our church. We'll stop right there. I'm just kidding. Don't take the time to do that. Don't look around at one another. Don't start pointing fingers at the person next to you. Don't get nervous this morning and think that you're going to have to transfer your membership. I can only imagine where your minds are running at this point. Some of you are probably thinking that if we really were to cast ballots, you're probably wondering how many votes you might get. I would have to say that the truth is that there would probably be a whole bunch of ties if we were to vote and count the votes. So if you're wondering who it is, I'd like to assure you this morning that this member, the meanest member of the church, this member wins hands down. There will be absolutely no tie at who this is. And not only in this congregation, but in every single congregation that exists today. Let's revisit verse 6 again from our passage this morning. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is placed among our members. Friends, the tongue is the meanest member in our church. I want us to think this morning about the tongue, about our tongue, the meanest member of the church who resides in every single mouth here today. I want us to think about, and then I want us to own the fact that this passage it's talking about you, and it's talking about me. Your tongue, my tongue, that's who's the meanest member of our church. James begins to tell us about this member, and early in our text, he provides a disclaimer. It says, no one can tame the tongue. The meanest member has brought down kingdoms. The meanest member has destroyed careers. It's killed marriage after marriage. This meanest member divides family. It's caused chaos in how many local churches? It's even split many of the churches, denominations. James, the writer of this book finds it amazing that we can tame all kinds of animals. We can tame everything. Yet we have yet to subdue our own tongues. Just think about what mankind has been able to somewhat tame. We've seen where you can train a bear to dance. We've taught seals to clap. We have dolphins that will answer questions. It's almost as if they can talk. We've trained and tamed and charmed snakes. We have dogs that do way more than just roll over and play dead. They've been trained to detect bombs or monitor blood sugar, sniff out cancer. Dogs have been trained and tamed to comfort a person when they're sick. We've even trained killer whales to command on perform on command. I've seen elephants that paint. We have lions that are trained to open their mouths. And then we have men who are dumb enough to put their heads in that mouth. Now, I've done my share of dumb things in my life, but I don't think I'm even dumb enough to do that. All these creatures have been tamed and they've been trained. Yet the little bitty tongue in our mouth remains not only untamed, but it appears to be completely untamable. James introduces us to three factors in his text as it relates to our tongue. And if we really pay attention and we take to heart the words of wisdom, maybe, just maybe, next year, the meanest member in our church can win an award for the most repentant or the greatest turnaround. There are a few things from James that I want to lift up this morning. So let's just spend a couple hours together exploring the influence of the tongue. I remember back when I first started my working career, I was 18. I worked in a pie factory. We made the pies for Baker Square restaurants and Poppin' Fresh Pie restaurants. And each year at Christmas time, we made this peppermint pie. It had a chocolate cake crust with this peppermint silk filling. One of the ingredients was obviously peppermint extract. Well, the extract that we used came in this small brown glass bottle. I think it was about an 8-ounce bottle, and it was this highly, highly concentrated peppermint oil. Right on the bottle, it said, "Handle with care." It wasn't a deadly chemical. It was a flavoring. But right on the bottle, it said, "Handle with care." And this little bottle, back in the early 90s, was so potent, it cost about $3,500. I think, if I remember correctly, it was about $3,500 for this little bottle of peppermint extract. And it was so powerful, it was so expensive, that they kept it under lock and key upstairs at the opposite end of the plant in the manager's office. It was so strong, it only took just a couple of drops to make a batch of this peppermint filling. And we only made this pie in December. So in the whole time I worked there, 17 years I worked there, we bought 2 bottles of this peppermint extract. And the reason we bought 2 bottles was because someone dropped the first bottle on the stairs at the far south end of this factory. This factory was probably about the size of 2 Walmarts, 2 big Walmarts put together. And he dropped this bottle at the far south end. When it broke, that little bottle contained enough potency that we had to evacuate. We had about 250 people in that plant. We had to evacuate the entire plant. This little bottle contained enough good flavor to serve thousands and thousands of people, while at the same time, it had the strength and the power to suffocate the 250 people who were in the plant when this power was unleashed. We had quite a few people had to leave the plant that night in an ambulance, because they were so overwhelmed by the power of the peppermint. It was an absolute mess. And that's what James is saying about our tongues. The tongue, even though it's very small, it's very powerful, it's very influential, and therefore the tongue should be always handled with care. The influence of the tongue can direct or it can destroy. It can delight as well as disappoint. The tongue is a very powerful thing. It's a powerful being. And this text gives us the sad reality that none of us are able to tame it. I've seen it bring or I've seen 5 foot tall mothers bring their 6 foot five sons to their knees. I've seen fragile grandfathers silence the whole family reunion just so people would listen to what he had to say. I've seen small little toddlers speak their first words, and even big biker grandpas fall silent because of the influence of the tongue. But nothing commands more attention than the tongue when it's out of control. Our tongues were never intended to be destructive weapons. They weren't meant to be used to hurt others. But we have a real problem, as James states. No man can tame the tongue. Just before he says this, he reminds us, every species has been tamed by the human race. We can control the animal kingdom, but we can't control our tongue. If we can't control our tongue, what hope do we really have? If the tongue can't be controlled, are we doomed to failure and frustration? No human being, James tells us, no human being can tame the tongue. But there's one who can tame our tongues. And Scripture distinctly tells us who he is. Proverbs 16:1 says this, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." What is humanly impossible is no problem for God at all. The Holy Spirit can not only tame our tongues, but wants to tame our tongues. You can't just stop cussing on your own. You can't just stop gossiping on your own. You can't just stop saying hurtful things on your own. You just can't stop saying mean things on your own. But the Holy Spirit can and longs to take control of our tongues. James illustrates this by giving us a couple of examples of a bit in a horse's mouth. It's always amazed me. The only way to fully control these great creatures is by controlling their tongues. The tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth. James calls to our attention, the only way to make this creature obey is by placing a small bit in its mouth. While this tiny piece of metal, or with this tiny piece of metal, we can turn, we can guide, we can control its whole body. Can you imagine by controlling this powerful beast tongue, we actually harness all of its power, all of its grace? What do you think it is that James is trying to say to us here? I think he wants us to understand this. Just a small word, just a bit of a word can sometimes control the destiny of a person. Sometimes that's all it takes, just a small word. The Holy Spirit works like that bit in the mouth of a horse. If the Holy Spirit could just get a hold of our tongue, he'd be able to control and guide all the aspects of our life. I think you're just fooling yourself if you think you can live holy and can't control your tongue. I think you're just fooling yourself if you think you're a blessing to the kingdom and can't control your tongue. You're just fooling yourself If you think you're a respected leader in the church, yet you can't control your tongue. I'm talking about the meanest member in our church. We find in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think of that kind of power. The tongue, like the rudder of a ship, can bring that ship battered and tossed by the waves and the wind, and it can guide it right into a safe harbor. Or the untamed tongue can direct the ship of life into the rocks and the reefs of disaster and destruction. James is telling us, he's saying, never underestimate the power of the tongue. Remember, it's so small, but it's so powerful. Let's take a close look with this last illustration. James says the tongue is like a spark in dry grass. Look at verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. Friends, your tongue is like a torch. It's incendiary, and it only takes a small spark to start a raging fire. Remember what happened on the West Coast not too long ago. Do you remember your history? How about, I'm from the Chicago area. How about the Great Chicago Fire in 1871? The story goes that Mrs. O'Leary's was out in her barn milking her cow. She was doing that in Chicago. And the cow actually kicked over Mrs. O'Leary's lantern. And that lantern caught the hay on fire in the barn. Mrs. O'Leary wasn't able to put out that small fire. And by the time that small fire grew, by the time that small fire was finally under control, 17,450 buildings in Chicago were destroyed. One cow kicks over a single lantern. Over 250 lives were lost. And how many more were affected forever? One can do more harm by his words than good by his deeds. Just think about the great and the terrible damage that's been done by the fire of words, or rumors, or gossip, and sharp, cutting remarks, even when we didn't mean to hurt someone. Think about the marriages that have been destroyed, the jobs that have been lost, the children who've been just disturbed, the friendships that have been just permanently damaged, reputations that have been ruined. Think about the churches that have been destroyed, closed. If we're ever to gain control of the tongue, we have to restrain the words that we use, to hold back from speaking harshly, while at the same time, we also have to be able to give good direction. We have to use our tongues to speak for what's good and what is right. And the truth is, this is often easier said than done, because if we're honest with ourselves, we've all said things that we shouldn't have said. There's times when we speak our minds and we just say a little bit too much. There's times when anger gets the best of us and we just run our mouths. There's times when we hear or we know a juicy bit of information we think we just have to tell somebody. Here's the answer for our tongues. It has to be God. When we let God sanctify our tongues and the Holy Spirit take control of the words that we speak, your tongue and my tongue are divinely tamed. In our own human strength, we just can't accomplish it. But the Holy Spirit has all the power that we need to control this powerful muscle. Allow the Spirit to guide you. Think before you unleash the meanest member in our church. We love acronyms nowadays. So here's an acronym that you can use in a positive way. If you're going to use your tongue, if you're going to let the Spirit control your tongue, think of the word truth. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring what you're going to allow your tongue to say? N, is it necessary? Does it have to be spoken? And K, is it kind? Allow the Holy Spirit to use think before you unleash your tongue. If what you're about to say doesn't pass this simple test, then allow the Spirit to lead you not to say it. Think before you speak. Otherwise, friends, you may be getting ready to get a vote for being the meanest member in this church. To God be the glory. Let's pray together. Gracious and holy God, we come before you at the close of this service, deeply aware of the power that you have placed within us, the power of our words. Today you reminded us that the tongue, though it's small, can lift up or it can tear down. It can bless or it can curse, can heal or it can wound. And Lord, we confess that too often our words have moved faster than our hearts. Too often we've spoken without thinking, reacted without praying, and used this gift of speech in ways that don't honor you at all. So, Holy God, we would ask that you would tame the meanest member in our lives. Take hold of our tongues the way the bit guides this mighty horse. Steer us and shape us, sanctify us from the inside out, Lord. Let the words that leave our lips this week be words that speak life, words that encourage, words that restore, words that reflect your grace. And now, Father, we turn our hearts toward our offering, not just good words, good tidings, but towards our financial offering. We present these gifts to you, not out of obligation, not out of routine, but out of gratitude, Lord. We would ask that you would use what we return to you this morning to bless this church, to further your mission along these back roads, to feed the hungry, to reach the lost, to strengthen families, to share the hope of Jesus in every direction our ministry travels. So, Lord, bless the giver and the gift. Purify our motives, multiply our generosity, and guide this Backroads Church to be a place where both our words and our work testify to your glory. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, the one whose words bring life, the one whose truth sets us free, and the one who alone is worthy of our praise.